The Steamrollers
Adventure Podcast
contains mature language
and situations.
Discretion
is advised.
Episode 70.
Hey, Robbie. Welcome back, buddy. What happened with the strike? And where are the other robots?
The strike is still going on, but they moved it down to Wolf Autobot headquarters in Urbana, Illinois.
So why are you here?
I missed you, and I missed the garage. So I decided to cross the picket line and become a desiccated membrane.
Don't you mean a scab?
That is what I said. Anyway, I wanted to come back. May I? Please? 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 The reason I became an incrustation...
Scab.
...is so I can be with you again. You are my friend.
Aw, Robbie. I'm touched. Well, you know what? I feel the same way about you.
That I am your friend?
No, that you're a thin layer of dried wound-protecting blood.
Oh, you mean a scab.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Boing.
Well, I'm glad you're back because season two is starting to get busy. Our parties are getting closer to coming across each other, and it's getting to be a pretty big deal.
I'm so glad to be back, and I brought Margie.
Margie? Really? I thought that...
I reprogrammed her to follow me, remember? She is no longer property of the show.
Oh, yeah, right, because I was...
Using her as a sex toy.
Contact protocol.
The Steamrollers Adventure Podcast is available on iTunes, yes. Stitcher, and Google Play. But you can also get all of our show notes, details of the show, and related fiction at rigstories.com. If you have a favorite podcatcher, you can also find an RSS link there. Email the show at steamrollersadventurepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at steamrollerspc, on Facebook at steamrollersadventure, on Skype at SRA Podcast, and at Patreon at patreon.com/steamrollersadventurepodcast. Yep.
Right. Thank you, Robbie. Our patrons were recently treated to some outtakes from this very episode.
Outtakes are things you take out, thus outtakes.
I'm so glad you're back to explain these things.
You are welcome. Oh, and how about a special shout-out to our patrons, Krista Courtney, Jeff Fogg, Rob Day, and Chris Jerback.
Thank you, Rubbles. Folks, today we rejoin Oliver Glass.
Isn't he the one who was surrounded by wolves and then saved by two adorable little children?
The creepy religious Trinitites, yeah.
Yeah. Oliver set out from the massive land-crawling Epson City with a map to a mysterious underground machine. As a mechanic and social activist, Ollie cannot resist the call of adventure.
And now he has a 12-year-old girl and an 11-year-old mute boy.
With blowguns.
With blowguns as his traveling companions.
He is the very first ever steampunk babysitter.
I guess that's true. Okay, Robbie, why don't you and Margie get us started?
On with the show.
Previously on the Steamrollers Adventure Podcast.
You see two figures coming out of the woods. They are dressed in cloaks with hoods. Their faces are obscured, but they both have the same thing. They have smallish hands, but like a small framed person, holding something to their face in their hoods, and that would be a blowgun. They each have some kind of blowgun. Their cloaks are similar design and color. It's sort of like a powdery blue, faded dark blue kind of color. You don't see anything of their other accoutrements. And if they had anything besides blowguns, you certainly would have heard and or seen them. They probably would have used them because wolves. But they are quite skilled, whoever they are, with these blowguns. After the last of the wolves and wild dogs scatter...
So I think Oliver's going to kind of not yell out, but, you know, speak out to him, just saying, thank you very much. You know, he'll just thank him and see how they respond.
The voice of a girl from the one who is closest to you says,
you're very welcome.
And she lowers her hood, and it is a young girl. Her head is shaved, although her hair is starting to grow back. She's extremely pale, even in the firelight, especially in the firelight. Her eyes are wide. It's almost like someone who is on something. You know, her eyes are glassy and wide, and her pupils are dilated. On her forehead is a burned-in tattoo of three circles joined by a line, and he would recognize this as the symbol of the Trinity. The other person traveling with her is a boy, probably slightly younger than her. He lowers his hood as well. He likewise has a Trinity symbol tattooed on his, burned into his forehead. He also looks wild-eyed, and he's looking around into the woods as if making sure that the attacking wolves are gone.
So I think Oliver's going to walk over and introduce himself, say just something like, "Hi, I'm Oliver. Thank you so much for saving me. Can we share a fire?"
Sure. I'm Penny, and this is Shiloh.
Chapter 8, Pinecone Breakfast.
You are listening to the Steamrollers Adventure Podcast, an actual play tabletop role-playing comedy show based on the fiction of Michael J. Rigg. Now, let's see what trouble our heroes are in this week.
Okay, and the mics are hot! The mics are hot! Welcome back to the Steamrollers Adventure Podcast, the only podcast that involves the word steam and rollers together. As far as I know, still paranoid about that kind of thing. Anyway, I am Mike, your storycrafter, and with me to the left on screen in a small 4x4 box is...
This is me? Oh, I'm Dave, and I'm playing Oliver Glass, the crawler mechanic / scientist / inventor.
Woo! And before we go to Jen, don't forget to plug.
I'm on the Roll for Adventure podcast as Dibs the Gnome Librarian.
Try that again.
Yeah, do it again. Another plug. We don't want Sean to have to spank you.
Okay, and I also am on the Roll for Adventure podcast as Dibs the gnomish librarian warlock.
Very cool. Mm. All right, and next to you...
He could help me.
Probably more use than Oliver, yeah.
We'll cross-pollinate and see what we can get. And from Canada...
I'm Jen, and I am playing Connie Stevens, a natural psychic entertainer / spy as well.
Sweet.
And I have nothing to plug. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
And I'm George, and I'm playing Percy Alexander, Box Cowboy.
Did
anybody get that?
Say it again without the accent, because I swear you just said Pussy Alexander.
What?
I told you that was his nickname.
Say what?
Oh, no. You
put the Green Mile Boston spin on it? Poisey?
He's Poisey.
Poisey.
Okay. All right, so you're Pussy Alexander, and you live in a boxcar.
I'm George, and I play Pussy Alexander, a boxcar boy.
All right, cool. And last but not least, the corpse of the day.
I'm Ray, and I play Silas Monroe, waiting for somebody to help me.
Yep.
Try not to drop your dice.
I dropped my only chip.
Your only chip. All right, and Rupert will be joining us at some point, but we're going to begin with Oliver Glass. And before we do that... A quick recap of the chips.
Rub it in.
Wait. The only reason to recap the chips is to rub it in. Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Start with me first.
No.
You going to save me for last?
Rupert, who is not here, has 3 blue, a black, a red, a green, and 2 gold.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, lots happened. Mm. Connie has 4 black, 1 red, 2 green, 1 blue, and a gold. Dave, what do you have for Oliver?
I have 1 red and 1 gold.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh.
I
feel for you.
As a mechanic, I got stuck in the wilderness fighting wolves.
That is.
I seem to recall. I think this, yeah. Our little mini party is getting the short end of the storyteller stick.
I fought ghouls, you fight wolves.
Watch it, or I'll have you fighting ghouls now, and you're no condition to put up a resistance.
Ghoulish wolves.
Maybe you could bleed on them. George, what are your chips?
I've got 3 red, 1 black, 1 gold.
Okay. You don't have any money? You gave your money away, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. Got the Robin Hood points.
Yep.
As a boxcar boy, George's thing is every time he does something Robin Hoodish, he gets a boost to his appeal. So his appeal has gone up to... What has your appeal gone up to?
It's now 30.
30. And it was 14, so it's gone way up. Yeah. Wow. And Ray, what are your chips?
I have 1 blue one.
Awesome. Okay, let's go.
That's all I need. Just me and my blue
chip. Just you and your 1 lucky reroll.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the awesomest 20 ever anywhere, and it's going to get you a gold chip and a red chip and a black chip, and then everything else after that will be ones.
Every time I ever had chips anyway, you take them away from me.
No, that's because you lose them. You're the one who rolls ones. Try using a tray or a different die or something.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. Let us begin with Oliver Glass, our land crawler mechanic, scientist, inventor, and babysitter.
Yes.
Yeah. Dave, why don't you fill in everybody on what you recall about when we last left Oliver Glass?
All right. So last time we left Oliver Glass, he was wandering towards Texas with a horse named Smoke, looking with a map that leads to an underground machine that does something that nobody knows. So he was traveling that way, got attacked by wolves, saved by a little, were they like 12 and 11 year old?
Yes.
Little kids. I don't know if they're related or not, but which I should probably ask them. But what are the names? Penny was the girl, a little bit older, and Shiloh, was it?
Yes.
Shiloh, the boy who doesn't speak.
Right.
They have one of those rod things with the engraving wires running through them. And they need help. So Oliver's kind of adopted them and currently doesn't know what to do with them because the more he hears about the Trinity, he's scared to leave them at the church.
We'll have to share this with you at some point, Dave, unless Jen has sent it to you also. But she did some sketching during the game with you guys the other day. Sorry, weeks ago. I keep forgetting this is going to be edited into something else. Her sketch of the creepy little Penny is actually really awesome.
Creepy?
Yes.
And, if it's creepy, she might not want to show it to me or I want to leave them in the wilderness.
All right. Yeah,
I haven't sent it to anyone. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, you didn't do Silas and
Silas
you haven't
is
met
easy.
Silas yet. Silas, just draw like a round face with X's over the eyes and the tongue sticking out.
Like a stick figure.
Stick figure.
Bloody splat.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yes, and for people who had forgotten, the children of the Church of the Trinity, they speak rather frequently about how the Trinity has given them direction and provided them with, they provided them with something to aid them that their religion also forbids them to use, and that would be something they had given to you,
Alec,
which was what?
The Colt Spinner, yes. So a Gatling pistol.
Yes.
I didn't actually ask if they gave me any ammo. So it could just be a club.
Yeah, so it's a club. Well, it is fully loaded, so you've got 8 shots in 2 seconds. Or if you knew how to use it, it's the pressure on the trigger, but you'll find that out. I'm sure the first time you use it, if you use it, it'll be... Rupert just messaged back, just putting up the fort.
Ah, yes.
He's under his blanket fort, yeah. All right, so we might as well wait for him. Continue recapping until he signs on. Okay, so we got Gray Mare named Smoke, Penny's 12, Shiloh's 11, Shiloh's mute. Oh, yeah, the children have brands on their foreheads.
The Trinity?
Burnt in brands of the Trinity. Yeah, it's the 3 circles with a line through the middle of them.
Is it 3 circles like a snowman, like on top of each other?
No, side to side. They're horizontal. The line is horizontal. And it starts in the middle of the ring on the left, goes straight through the middle ring, and stops in the middle of the ring on the right. Yeah. Or if you are like going to draw a depiction of maybe a chain link, but with the chains all pushed together, it's kind of like that almost. Kind of, I don't know.
Sort of.
Let's see. Oh, yeah. They had that branded on their foreheads. They're wide-eyed. They look like they're on drugs. They're all glassy-eyed. Their heads are shaved, but not neatly. It's like either they did it themselves or they helped each other, and they used a Bowie knife to shave each other's heads. And they have belts with equipment. Basically, primarily, a couple of pouches with vials of different powders and liquids that they combine into a poison that goes
poison?
On the tips of their blowgun darts. Which, yes.
No healing powder?
I don't know. We'll find out, won't we?
A little Epsom salt?
No, although Dave in his pack... No, this is very important. Dave in his pack, since he came from Epsom City, probably has some salt from there.
Good.
Yeah. So that's close.
Clean out the wounds.
Not spelled the same, but yeah, I'm sure when he finds you, he'll just dump salt in your womb and keep on going.
That'll get me straight up.
Or just PNG.
And he will claim it was defense.
It's like get stung by jellyfish.
He'll claim it.
Gunshot, jellyfish, whatever.
Yeah.
He could claim it was defense and say that you were being eaten by snails and he was trying to dissolve them.
I think Oliver's too young to be a father.
That's true, yeah. He's like an older brother.
Is anyone in this party over the age of 20?
Yes.
In this particular party, I don't think so. Isn't Oliver 19?
I think Oliver is 19 or 20. I think I wrote 19 and then said 20 last time.
Okay. So he's somewhere between 19 and a half and 20 and one quarter.
Jeez. Silas is like their grandfather.
How old is Silas?
32.
Yeah, he's like their grandfather.
Nigel's only 13.
Nigel's 13. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go by manufacture date.
Which program party to be around about 30?
And Connie is legal. And hello. Sorry.
Jeez.
You know what? You said I was too soft, and then you said I was too. Never mind.
Don't tell him anything.
No, this is all the innuendos going to happen this episode, aren't they?
Let's go now. I won't say or do anything to cause any kind of inference going forward. We're going to be professional.
But the explicit rating, we have to keep that up.
Well, fuck that. We're going to be professional going forward. We're going to enjoy the show. We have a full cast. Now, no more sniggering. All right, now let's begin with Oliver, who spent the night spooning with a 12-year-old.
Already gone.
Totally set it up for you guys. And it
hung up.
Over the edge.
We were huddling for warmth.
Oh, that's
what was
right.
Happening.
Huddling for warmth. Yes. Yes.
This is true.
All right. So the next morning, Oliver and Penny and Shiloh set out on their journey. You were looking to follow this rough map obtained by a pilot who was visiting Epsom City to the fabled underground machine. And the children were looking to go to... They were looking to head to Texas, right? Mm-hmm. I think there was something... Was there something? Oh, they were going to the church.
Yeah.
There's a Church of the Trinity there that they wanted to go to. And, of course, as previously stated, they've been nothing but creepy.
Yes.
Oh, but they're children.
Well, yeah, they're...
Yeah.
They're nice.
I guess...
Shiloh's come around, so...
Yeah. Yeah. They've been really good, and, yeah, when you wake up the... actually, let's start with waking up the next morning. You wake up to find that they are already awake and tending to a fire. One of them, possibly Penny, has helped herself to your rations, and there is a tripod over the fire and a little stew pot that would have been in your camp packet, backpack, if you will, and she's already stirring up something that she's found, picked up, or hunted, and is making a breakfast. Mm.
There's plenty of wolf to go around.
And there's plenty of wolf to go around,
Well, the problem is they probably got a bunch of poison flowing through them, so maybe we don't want to eat them.
Yeah, extra flavor.
Yeah, extra flavor. It tastes like curry. So when you awaken, Oliver, she looks up at you and smiles. It's a cool morning, but it's going to be rather sunny. The wind from overnight has died down, and it will be relatively warm in the sunlight and gradually get warmer until it's almost downright hot. Not so much up here in the hills, but maybe as you travel further west, northwest. All right, what are you going to do? What do you want to say or do as you wake up and you see... Shiloh is feeding wood to the fire while Penny is stirring the pot.
All right, I guess Oliver will get up and start putting away his stuff and talk to Penny to say, what are we having for breakfast?
I found some cones and grass and a few other things.
Yum.
Exactly.
She knows how to cook.
Yeah, it's a lovely... A lemon pledge smelling concoction she's got going on there that's not the least bit lemony, and I wouldn't pledge to it, but it's pine cones and grass, and it looks a little murky. Who knows what else is in it? Glancing around the edge of the forest where the dead wolves have been stacked, none of their parts seem to be missing. So,
that's good.
Yeah, there's no poisoned wolf in there. And if you happen to look into the pot, you'd see a few... captured bugs also thrown in there as well.
Mm. I'll rummage through the pack and get some jerky. Okay. Why not throw that in there too?
Oh, you gonna toss it in the pot?
Yeah.
Have a little flavor. For a team.
Yeah.
Right. So Penny looks at you as you rummage out the jerky, and she kind of makes a sad face, like,
You don't like
it. You don't want my stew?
Well, where I come from, we all share meals. We put everything together.
Oh, okay. Oh,
good cover.
That's...
good cover.
That was a close one.
That was a close one.
She looks to Shiloh, who nods. She nods back and says...
The Trinity would favor that.
Great.
You got
so
them.
Are you and Shiloh related?
He's my brother.
Your brother.
And Shiloh shakes his head no. She explains. Well, she says,
"We are all brothers and sisters of the Trinity."
Oh, jeez.
You need to be more specific.
Yeah. What were your parents like?
She looks to him, kind of flummoxed a little bit, and he kind of shrugs, like, "You're the one who can talk." And she says,
"My parents were of the Trinity. They were light and very giving and bright and kind." And
she reaches for a metal camp
duck
cup. she reaches for a rock and throws it. And she reaches for a metal camp cup to dip into the mixture that she's making and brings it out and pours some into, you know, like a shallow plate or something that Shiloh would be using. And a big pine cone drops onto it and splashes it. She takes a sip of it herself, smiles and licks her lips like it's the greatest thing she's ever eaten, because that's probably all they've eaten since they've been in the wilderness alone, and hands the rest of it to you.
So and, did she take any?
The jerky?
No, just the...
Yeah, she took a big sip.
She's got the cup.
Yeah. And then while she's chewing on a pine cone, which is very crunchy, she passes the cup towards you.
Hey, I guess we're eating bugs. All right, so Oliver will go sit next to Penny and, motion for Shiloh to come over, and I guess we'll just share breakfast.
Okay.
Slimy yet satisfied.
Yeah. Both of them look very hungrily towards your share of the breakfast, the jerky, and it's obvious they're more interested in that, but, you know, the Trinity
right.
says they must share what they've made, so...
Okay, so I'll eat a little bit and then share the rest with them.
Okay. You would have more than enough. If you are going to continue feeding these two, you'll have it's going to shorten the range of your journey if you share rations. As long as you don't mind eating grass and pinecone soup to kind of stretch out your diet, you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's kind of the current plan.
Okay. Are you
we'll see how long that lasts.
Are you going to partake of Penny's mixture, or are you going to do the fake sip and, like, spill part of it out behind you?
we'll try some of it.
Okay.
See what it does to Oliver's stomach.
Yeah. It tastes like dirt. And, it's possible that the leg of, you know, the spiny leg of a dead beetle would probably momentarily cling to your upper lip that, you could either, chomp on it or... No, it's delicious. No, really?
Yeah, we'll play up that it's delicious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, just a little twig. Oh, sorry, that's part of it.
Yeah.
So she.
Well, his goal is to like deprogram these kids.
Oh.
So
the challenge.
So she's just, yeah.
Yes, the challenge is ahead of you.
Yes.
She, Penny says.
You don't like it, do you?
A little bit.
Drink some more.
Certainly not used to eating it, but yeah, I mean, it's. I'll get used to it.
You don't have to if you don't like it. Shiloh doesn't like it either.
And the boy leans forward, looking past her to you, and he like shakes his head vigorously. No.
Say, well, we got a long way to go, and we're gonna have to eat to get there, and so we're gonna have to be eating all sorts of stuff, whatever we can find. So I appreciate your contribution.
Thank you.
She like clasps her hands together and bows her head deeply. Closing her eyes for a moment. As she does so, you glance over at Shiloh, who is not bowing his head in thanks. Instead, he rolls his eyes at his quote-unquote sister.
While she's bowing her head, I'll throw Shiloh some jerky.
No, okay. Playing favors already.
Yeah, he smiles and laughs. His laughter sounds like... and
does he have a tongue?
Partakes of his jerky. He does have a tongue. He just went through some kind of... tortures, as you will.
Trauma.
A quest for magic and steel. A family-friendly adventure where six people play the tabletop game of Dungeons and Dragons. The Game Master, Amara, her sister, brother, dad, and two friends take on the roles of their characters as they voice act and use improv to tell the story of these misfit adventurers. If you like D&D, this is an easy must-listen. And if you're not into D&D or have never played, that's okay, because this game is based more on the storytelling and role-playing than it is on the strict rules of the traditional game. Get ready to take a break from a hectic day, or prepare to take on the week as a new show and this ongoing episodic journey goes up every Sunday. Listen as you drive, do chores, ride the bus, work out, or whenever you want an escape. Join David, Amara, Shayna, Josiah, Alicia, and Brian on a family adventure. Laugh out loud and imagine you're right there with them playing along. Find it on any podcast player for any device or listen directly from the website www.magicandsteel.com. That's STEELE. Don't forget the last E for entertainment. On Twitter at Empire Steel and on Facebook at Steel Empire.
This is Kevin C. Mason from Jack Monkey Games, creator of Roll vs. Roll, and you're listening to Steamroller's Adventure Podcast.
Okay.
Right, so I guess we'll just, break camp and
right. Now you have the one horse, and how are you going to divvy up the riding? Or are you going to try to all get on there together?
Make the kids walk.
Make the kids walk.
We'll let them ride for now, and I'll lead the horse.
Okay, all right. And then there you could switch, and you and Penny could ride, and Shiloh would hold onto the horse's tail.
Drag him through the through the brush.
Yeah, the horse is kind of gassy this morning. Not really.
What did the horse eat?
Dead wolves. No. It's a meat-eating horse. All right. So you head off. Now, are you loosely following your map?
Yeah, we'll stay on course. I don't exactly know where I'm going, so
okay.
The map's all I got.
Basically east. So you're doing the best you can to work through the foothills, and you've passed the range of mountains, thanks to the fact that Ipsen City had already passed past those obstacles. So no worries there. And recap the glass rod that is in your party. Penny has that, right?
Yeah, I think Penny ended up with it. So Shiloh had it, wanted to give it to me, and Penny said something like, "It's not meant for him. You know, we're trying to give this to someone, but it's not you."
Right.
So I gave it back to him in an attempt to not piss him off.
All right, that works.
Yeah.
But it is close. Oh, and where is the where is the I was going to say six shooter. Where's the eight shooter?
I think in my pouch. Okay. I don't think I have a good place to put it. So like my shoulder bag.
Okay. So not a good place to easily. Like quick draw it.
Do I have anything that I could I tie it to my belt, or I don't have a holster.
You don't have a holster, but maybe you can fabricate something.
Yeah. Maybe while we're walking.
Okay. As you're doing that, Penny is watching you with great interest, and she says,
Are you trying to make something for your weapon?
Yeah, just an easy way to carry it or something like that.
She kind of reaches out and flexes her fingers for the leather straps or whatnot that you're tinkering around with. She says,
"Okay,
let me."
Sure.
Okay. She starts working the leather, chewing parts of it, using something from her pack to like poke holes, run thread through it, whatnot. She says, or twine from one of her packs, and seems to be rather good at leather making. And from the pattern that she's doing, you can gather that the leather belts and shoulder straps that they have, their gear, Penny probably made them.
Wow. Well, she's a witch.
Yeah, because she's a leather worker, she's also a witch. You know, you would fit in well with the Glass Cavalry. You really should. Should go right.
Say, how long have you been out here?
Oh, many, many days. I don't know, but the sun has always been up. Even at night.
Oh.
Maybe the boy knows more.
He probably does, but he's mute.
Probably does, but he's not talking. The sun's always up?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it? Can you point to it?
She like kind of rolls her eyes and kind of like makes a giggly face, and they both simultaneously point up at
the sun
through the trees.
But where is it at night?
Shiloh shrugs, and Penny kind of like lifts her hands up over her head and then spreads them wide as if to say everything or everywhere.
All right.
Getting existential on me.
Yes, exactly.
She said, "You don't. You believe in the Trinity, don't you? You don't seem to know much about it."
I'm learning.
Teach me the ways of the Force.
Sorry. Say, well, see, I'm a builder. I build things, and so I like to be able to touch things, and see them, and figure out how they work. But
well,
you can't do that at Trinity, can you?
Yes. Don't you know that the Trinity is what makes all of that possible? You can't build anything without the Trinity making things for you to build.
She actually, you know, while she's talking, as you've been walking in this conversation, pretend would be a little bit longer than it actually was. She has finished creating a crude holster for you, and she holds it up as evidence. She says,
Shiloh and I are of the Trinity, and you had these leather straps and scraps, and I made this for you. Would you say I made it, or that the Trinity made it?
You made that ugly thing.
That ugly thing. Mm. You mean this piece of crap? I'm gonna whip you with it, kid, and let me get on the horse.
Yeah, that's right. Shut up.
It's my goddamn horse.
I would say that you made it.
No.
She shakes her head and kind of smiles. Like the expression on her face is like, "You're so stupid."
Yeah, I'm an idiot. Yeah.
It's the Trinity. The Trinity is everything.
That seems convenient.
Yeah, Shiloh kind of pokes at her and holds up two fingers on each hand, puts them to the side of his head, makes a snarly face, points back over his shoulder, indicating obviously the wolves, and then shrugs like asking silently, "So the Trinity made the wolves too?" Mm-hmm. And she nods and said,
"Yes, everything."
And again, the boy rolls his eyes. He obviously didn't drink the full cup of Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's the naivete of him being slightly younger than her. Who knows? Or maybe being mute has made him kind of, you know, if the Trinity was a thing, it would make me so I could talk.
Mm-hmm. So ask Benny, why doesn't Shiloh talk?
Because he can't.
Has he ever been able to talk?
She shrugs.
I'll look at Shiloh.
He shakes his head no.
Can you make any noise at all?
He goes like this.
What was that?
Well played,
clapping
Shiloh.
His hands. Yes. She goes,
"Well, you did say noise."
This is true.
It's time.
Well, I'm trying to figure out a way that I can talk to him and communicate.
He's not deaf.
No, he's not. No. Oh, so you're going to establish a
charades.
Okay. All right, what are you going to try to do? You're going to give him a, you know, one clap for yes, two claps for no kind of a thing, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do one clap for yes, two claps for no.
Okay. Two claps really fast, and then a pause, and another clap for maybe, and then three claps really fast, and then a pause, and another clap for
right.
For the direction of the sun, and then
he can wheeze creepily too, so that's starting.
One panda.
Right.
Alright, so I guess just as we travel, I'll ask Penny to explain about the Trinity to me.
Okay. On your journey, she very gleefully explains to you as Shiloh falls asleep against her back with his head against her shoulder. She explains how the Trinity is everything and everywhere, and how it brings the sun out at night and never brings the darkness, and it helps people and creates things. We wouldn't have food without the Trinity. The air, that not only the air that goes into your lungs, but that also the thing that makes the air come back out of your lungs, all thanks to the Trinity. And she says, if you properly give yourself to the Trinity, that you will become part of the light that shines all day and all night.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Silas is thinking right now.
Silas is actually—he's actually traveling toward
he's going
that
into
Trinity.
The light, yeah,
mm-hmm. He's halfway there.
There is peace and serenity in the light.
Wait, why is it so warm?
Yeah, whoops, wrong light. Yeah, you try to revive Silas. You just roll him closer to a fire. And he's like, oh!
The impaled bits of the abyss.
All right. Yeah, so, I mean, that's essentially what she goes on and on about. And you get no rebuttal or comment from Shiloh, who has fallen asleep in the gentle rocking of the horse.
I guess you can take first watch tonight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Take a nap.
Right. By the end of that long day's travel, you do see something in the distance, in the direction that you're heading. By this time, Shiloh is awake, and they're both staring wider-eyed than normal, towards something down in the valley, the direction you're heading. There is a wide-open valley, and in the middle of it is a small, dark airship. It's essentially a small, cigar-shaped balloon with a gondola underneath it that's all open. It's like almost like if you would imagine a catamaran sailboat with an airbag over it. Or a common hot air balloon, but elongated. So it's not just a round basket. It's like a banana boat kind of a deal. There is a slow column of smoke rising from it and from a small campfire next to it. It's not yet dark. It's still relatively light, but the sun is setting behind you. Or on its way down. This vehicle, by the way, is called an aravan. So it's essentially a flying caravan, but it's all, as I said, open. And if it were up in the air, I mean, the basket is so low and shallow that if you, like, stumbled into the edge, you'd just topple right over the edge. It's not really good for... It wouldn't be a military vehicle, for example. And typically made of light wood or wicker. And there seems to be one individual walking around by it. Shiloh, you know, slaps at Penny's shoulder and points down the valley, and she says,
"Yes, I see it."
Say, let's go talk to them. Have any reaction to that?
They seem rather nervous about it. They are very friendly and open towards you, but not so sure about what this is. She says that...
The Trinity says that flying things are an abomination.
She's right.
What about birds? Are birds an abomination?
Not that kind of flying thing. Those are animals. Mr. Oliver, okay. You're so silly.
And then she giggles. All right. So what do you do?
Right. So I say, well, let's go talk to him. We'll see. Maybe we can either trade for supplies, or it's probably too small for a horse to fit on, right?
Yeah.
This is like a small, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll trade for supplies, or, yeah. At least you have the fire for the night.
Okay. She says,
all right. Okay.
She lifts her hood up and pulls the hood down to basically cover her holy symbol on her forehead. And
Who gave those to her?
Shiloh does not. That's a good question. Shiloh does not, but she looks back at him and she nudges him and, like, gives him a fierce look that he needs to put his hood up, which he does, but grudgingly.
Do I know anything about the Trinity? Like, if there's a group that people don't like them in general or something like that?
There are a lot of people that are openly anti-Trinity and, you know, others that just walk right past them, like Krishna's at an airport. And, you know, a small amount who are curious about them and like to talk to them and maybe even join them. But for the most part, they're harmless types. Those who don't like them really take it to extremes. I mean, there have been crimes committed against Trinity churches and Trinity followers. And there are some factions that are actually, their sole purpose is totally anti-Trinity.
Like the Boxcar Boys?
Yeah, the Boxcar Boys. Hate them! Hate them! No.
Okay, so I'll say, we'll go down. Okay. I'll go talk to him first before I bring you guys over.
But, okay.
So, you know, we'll see what's going on.
All right. As you're getting closer, you see the individual, as he comes into shape, you see that it's a man. He's wearing a like a sea captain's hat and a long, dark blue coat. It could be a Confederate naval coat, but as you get closer, you see there's no markings on it or anything. Two rows of brass buttons, and he has a big white beard. The guy is huge. I mean, he's barrel-chested. He's really tall. He's maybe...
cynical.
Yeah, he's Santa Claus, but...
Santa Claus, yeah.
Close to pushing 7 feet.
Wow.
And, yeah, he's a giant. He waves happily as he sees you all approaching. Penny lifts her head up a little bit, maybe not so shy, since he appears to be friendly. You don't see any weapons or anything like that on the guy. And as you get closer, you see the gondola is primarily empty. There is a coal-fed engine in the back. And these things, to propel themselves through the air, they have oar-like appendages with webbing meshed between them out of canvas. And they kind of swirl to create a almost like a fish fin motion to move through the air. Very Da Vinci-esque.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess we'll just head over. I'll leave them a little bit farther out, but I'll approach the guy.
Okay.
Hello.
Say
goodbye.
Hi.
Goodbye. Yeah,
bye.
We're just passing.
Can we share your fire?
Well, sure, sure. Yeah, come on, try warm up. You too.
I'll walk over. Introduce myself.
All right.
Hi, I'm Oliver. This is Penny and Shiloh.
Well, hello, Penny. Hello, Shiloh. And hello, Oliver.
And he claps his giant hand in yours. He introduces himself as Wild Ben Westman.
Captain Wild Ben Westman. Imperial military airship captain. No, I'm just kidding. I am from I am from up north a ways, but yeah, I don't fly no flag. And ran into a spot of trouble.
Indicates.
Well, what's going on? Maybe I can help.
Yeah. He looks you up and down, like, kind of like, really? How could you help? Kind of a look.
Well, what depends on what the problem is. I was a mechanic at Epsom City.
You were? Are you seriously?
Seriously.
The big old moving thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
You know, I tried to land there. It didn't give me clearance. No, I'm not holding that against you. What'd you do there in that clanky ass big thing?
I did all sorts of stuff. I worked on everything in there.
So
primarily did a lot of mechanic stuff. Worked on their ship for a while, doing lightning collection, that kind of stuff.
So you think you can fix Sheila?
I'll depend on what's wrong with her. I can fix almost anything.
All right then. That your little brother and sister over there?
He points to Shiloh and Penny as they move to the fire, and Shiloh helps himself poking at the wood of the fire to kind of break up the flame a little bit. Like every 11-year-old boy, he likes to play with fire.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't pee in it.
Right. Yeah.
Rude.
Yep. Nope. None of that.
I say, actually, I found him out here, so I'm trying to find a place to, their family or something.
Oh, well, that's right neighborly and noble of you, sir.
We'll do what we can.
What'd you say your name was, Molliver?
Oliver.
Oliver.
Or Ollie. Ollie, for sure.
Ollie. Well, you could call me Wild Ben.
Wild Ben.
Now, come on over here and I'll show you.
Shiloh?
I'll show you what's wrong with Sheila.
All right.
Well, actually, I can't tell you what's wrong.
He claims that there's like a small step ladder that goes up, and then you hop into the gondola. It's sitting on the ground, even though the airbag appears to be completely inflated. It's there's not much rise getting out of it. It is weighted down with sandbags and whatnot. And he leads you back to look at the engine, and you immediately see what's wrong. It's something that can be easily fixed, and given a couple of hours.
Here's your problem.
You'll still have to roll for it, but still.
Okay.
He says,
well, while you're looking that over, I'm going to get some food for the kids. They look like they could use some.
That'd be excellent.
All right.
He goes over to a chest on the deck there, so to speak, and opens it up, and he pulls out a large bag and sorts through it, and you could see by the bulges and some of the things he pulls out, it is filled with fruits and vegetables and a lot more jerky than you left town with.
Say, so what do you do out here, Wild Ben?
Oh, I was just passing through. I was moving from place to place. I was going to fly around the wall, see if there was an opening.
Indicating Texas.
Oh, you're going into Texas?
No, I was going to go around it. I don't want to go into it. I'll get my ass shot off. Come to think of it, I'm not flying any color, so I'm going to fly over the Confederation. You know, I like to just roam the Badlands and the Netherworlds and the uncharted territories looking for gold and potassium.
I don't know why I said potassium. He's a potassium hunter.
What about cotton?
And cotton. I'm looking for cotton out there in the desert. He's looking for the rare desert cotton.
So there's a wall around Texas?
Yes, sir. I take it you've never been there.
No, I have not. I was hoping to get there, though.
He looks up at his ship, looks at you, looks back at the kids. He says,
you're looking to get to Texas. There's a wall around it. If only there was some way to get up and over that wall.
He kind of laughs and scratches his beard.
Any ideas?
Nope, can't think of a one.
He gives you a wink and then goes to feed the kids while you work on the Sheila.
Thank you for listening to the Steamrollers Adventure Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher Radio. You can download or stream episodes at rigstories.com. But no matter how you listen, please leave a review at iTunes. If you'd like to become a patron of the show, visit patreon.com/Steamrollers Adventure Podcast. Patrons of our show get great perks, including personalized shoutouts, free books, early access to audio or video materials, and more. Read the first novel in the Heart of Bronze universe in ebook or softcover. Visit Amazon.com to purchase Clockwork Looking Glass and visit RickStories.com for more. You can contact the show at SteamrollersAdventurePodcast@gmail.com.
Music in today's episode included Ascending the Veil, The Chamber, The Parting, Magic Forest, and Sneaky Adventure by Kevin MacLeod, Incompetech.com. Under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 licensing.